Shalom and good evening, saints of God. This is Sheila Crawford, the Lord's servant of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Thanks for tuning in as we begin tonight with some important news for the body of Christ. Well, the up-and-down Israeli-Palestinian peace negotiations have come to a halt again because Netanyahu did not release 420 prisoners demanded by Abbas, which would have actually toppled the Israeli government. Just too many Knesset members were against it. Anyhow, everyone knows it's just another Palestinian stalling tactic, as I have said often. Palestinian leader Abbas does not want any peace agreement. They never have, because he might lose the many millions of dollars regularly given to him to maintain his people, which is why he probably will finally agree to the original number of 26 prisoners, or else face sanctions and lose all compensations. We'll see as the roller coaster ride begins again. He has a classic doublespeak personality. Yesterday, Vice President Joe Biden urged Russia to refrain from any further provocative behavior and to cease its support for pro-Russian militants in eastern Ukraine. Despite last week's international agreement, pro-Russian separatists have failed to evacuate buildings that they have seized. So clashes continue. What will Washington do as more cities, one at a time, continue to be occupied by Russia? Is an all-out invasion coming? Probably not, at least not before May 5th, International Accord in Geneva. As well, Russia's ally Iran now has access to 90% enriched uranium in its ungodly hands. So, what's going on with another Russian-Iran ally called Syria? It is now confirmed that Assad's regime has once again used chemical weapons, although not from his original stockpile. These are actually new and supplied from Iran, but manufactured in China of high-grade chlorine gas explosive canisters that are dropped from planes. Syria has destroyed approximately 80% of its own arsenal as agreed under the Kerry-Lavrov Accord from a few months ago. You might remember that. And it appears they will continue till all 100% of its chemical arsenal is gone by their April 27 deadline. However, I guess the Kerry Accord never addressed the fact that Syria might just purchase a different chemical. Obviously not. It just agreed to get rid of what they already had, and so they are. So now what? My guess is nothing more. We already have given the rebels armed supplies that we don't talk about too much, but are not enough, especially with the dangerous chemicals flying through the air. And Obama does not want to get these countries angry before this May 5th nuclear accord meeting, where Obama has high hopes to make a name for himself. For if Washington makes a fuss now, China and Iran might retaliate with obstacles, which could get in the way of progress. And the six world powers will be meeting with Iran to start drafting another so-called fake peace agreement. And it's quite obvious, our president will not let anything stand in the way of this accord. Other news, North Korea activity has increased at its nuclear test site. And in Nigeria, thousands of lives have been lost and property worth billions, including farm produce and livestock, being destroyed in incessant attacks and clashes between warring groups. And I got to say, there's still no plane found and very few answered questions. As I said a few weeks ago, the elite know exactly where it is, and it is not on the floor of the Indian Ocean. I am being more convinced It is being hidden at Diego Garcia, the secretive and very strategic military intelligence base located on an island in the center of the Indian Ocean, which, by the way, and this is important, is accessible only by military transport. Now, this base was a little-known launch pad for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and thought to house a top-secret CIA prison where terror suspects were interrogated and tortured. Yes, the globalists do have an agenda, I believe, for this plane. Maybe, and I'm just going to give you a scenario, as a torpedo maybe in the Atlantic Ocean, but blame it on a comet, and that would cause a massive tsunami to our East Coast. It wouldn't be the first false flag. Anyway, you check out your own information. YouTube even did a 60 Minutes segment on the military base at Diego Garcia. It's very interesting. Again, do your own research. Let's collaborate together. And remember, it's really you that keeps this program on the air. And we are still very short for this month, so please consider donating any amount to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And, of course, we always appreciate your prayers. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen to the show later this week on ShofarMinistries.net. And tonight, we will be in the book of the Revelation. And it's very fitting for today's generation. And you will, without a doubt, need to take some notes so you can remember this stuff and share it, because that's what it's all about, sharing God's Word with one another. But let's open the program by thanking our Lord for making an escape for his bride, that's us, that Luke 21 says will happen soon to those of us who are called by his name. Abba, we thank you again for the opportunity that you provide tonight to worship you by the study of your word. You are holy, your word is holy, you are mighty, and you're mighty to save. And we thank you for our lives. We thank you for the good and for the tough times as well, Lord. We know that a lot of those that are called by your name are facing cancer right now, and many for the first time, and some of them are scared, and we just want to lift them up to you, Lord, that show them that they don't need to be afraid, that no matter what comes our way, whether it be cancer or any other kind of life-threatening situation, you are in control. And those of us called by your name have nothing to look forward to but more life from the Lord and more joy and more peace. And this world is fading away, and our eternal world will soon be here. So don't give up. And we praise you, Lord, for your kindness to us and every day. We praise you for all those who listen and support this radio ministry tonight. Bless them. Bless them. And in the name of Yeshua,
amen.
Say amen. I could go on for a long time.
I know. I do thank you, John, and you say some beautiful prayers. Yeah. And, of course, shalom to you as well. And I'd like to remind our listeners that your end-time biblical questions can be emailed to me or write or even call. Just leave a detailed message, and I will answer either on the air or email or a return phone call. And right now the lines are open should you have any end-time questions that you want to call in and ask. If you don't want to be on the air, just tell Derek, and he'll write it down and give it to me. The number is 888-677-WORD, 888-677-WORD.
Sounds easy enough, toll-free. Sheila, I know we've already covered Revelation pretty good, the book of Revelation, and we did chapters 1, 2, and 3 a few months back. And, of course, that's available now on our webpage, shofarministries.net, Oh, and remember, you can always go to the library if you don't have the internet. This is for real. You can go to the library. They will actually just about do everything for you and show you how to get to shofarministries.net, grab some headphones and plug it in, and you can listen there. Or you can just order a CD of any of the programs that we do for any donation of at least $10. Yeah, I guess I'll finish with that. But really, God bless you if you can send it again, and you will be blessed definitely by re-listening or listening to these programs. So get to the library if you need to. I know a lot of you guys think the internet is expensive for some people.
Sure, I understand that totally. Why buy it yourself if you can go to the library? And especially if you're a little bit older, it's a good way of getting out. And we never stop learning. I don't care how old you are.
That's true. And the weather's going to cooperate, too. So.
And listening to it where you can pause it and replay it and chew on it. And that's how I learned the most that way.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good thing about technology right there.
That's a very good thing. You betcha.
Okay. So what are we teaching tonight?
Well, we are teaching in Revelation chapter 4. I call it the rapture chapter. As well as the throne room. And it has a lot of details. I think most of our listeners will enjoy learning about. We're going to kick it up a notch where we're going to go a little deeper than probably a lot of teachers
would. A lot of details that just a quick reading won't jump out at you. And that's why you say, like you say, we have to chew on it a while.
That's right.
And that's what you do when you save those details up to share with us.
And I think, John, I hope you don't mind, would you just give a quick synopsis of the first three chapters? I mean, just a few words for each.
Absolutely. Well, I know chapter one is all about John's vision of Jesus, as we will one day see him with that. And then there's that special blessing.
Oh, that's a great blessing.
Yeah, and it says, to those who study this book, you get a special blessing. And then there's the three themes in verse 19, and they go like this. John was commanded to write what he just saw.
That's right, the vision of Jesus.
And then the things that are.
And of that, at that time was the church age. He was in the church age, and that's chapters 2 and 3 that we have covered extensively on this program.
Okay, and then finally, the things which will come after.
Well, what comes after the church age?
Well, the church.
When the church age leaves. And that, of course, would be Revelation 4 through actually 19, when we return as his wife. And it says wife in verse 7 of Revelation 19. So a marriage took place. And, of course, after Revelation 19:7, all his enemies are destroyed as we enter his millennial kingdom. And just to say, after the millennial kingdom, Satan is released for a short time for those that are still human to have one last chance to choose between good and evil, or Satan and God. But then Satan is thrown into the lake of fire forever as God himself brings the new Jerusalem, Revelation 22, down to earth. And he and Jesus dwell on earth with us for eternity. I'm so excited. And I am sure he has plans for us after that in eternity, but he has not revealed that as yet. And you know what? That's just fine with me because we have so much to try to comprehend now. Can you imagine trying to comprehend what he might have for us in eternity? I don't think so.
I don't think we can handle it. I don't think our brains are big enough. And, of course, this book closes with a stern warning not to change the words of this book, or you will face some certain judgment. And I think John wrote that, and the Holy Spirit put that in there, not just for the book of Revelation, but
Could
all
be.
Of the books that came before it.
Could be.
Yes, I think so, too.
And before we start reading the first two verses, we do have a caller on the line, and her name is Dawn, and she's from Cleveland. And Dawn, I'm so glad you called. You're on the line. What is your question?
Hi, Sheila. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask you the importance of the Feast of the Trumpets. Can you go into detail about it, the importance of it, and why our Father wanted us to observe the Feast of the Lord?
Sure. I'm not going to spend a lot of time just because we want to try to get, you know, a lot of teaching in Revelation 4 because there's quite a bit. But I can tell you this. There's seven feasts of the Lord, and he has fulfilled the first four. Verse 3, when he actually came, he died and rose from the dead. and then he sent his Holy Spirit on Pentecost. That's the first four. There's three left, and those are in the fall. So I just surmise, and so do most other scholars that study it, that if he fulfilled the first four with his first coming, he's going to finish the last three with his second coming. And the Feast of Trumpets is the next one to occur. I'm also going to suggest that if you have the internet, that you might want to go back to my archives where I teach on the Feast of Trumpets, actually quite a bit.
Good. And, I'll do that.
Yeah. But, it's exciting. And as we get towards fall, I always get very excited because I think, well, gee, maybe this is the year. But, of course, no one knows for sure. But as the signs accumulate and they continue to accumulate, you get more excited. And I think we're in those days.
I think so, too. Thank you, Sheila.
I hope that answered your question. Like I say, there's lots of resources there on my webpage.
I will go there. Thank you so much.
Okay, Don, thanks for calling. Okay, that was nice.
Good hearing from you, Don.
That's right. All right, John, I need for you to go to Revelation 4 for me.
Okay.
And I think we'll take two verses for now.
Okay.
First two verses.
After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.
Okay, after this. He says it twice there, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And that is actually a huge clue as to what chapter 4 is all about.
Okay.
Because after these things is actually a Greek expression, meta tata, which actually means immediately next or immediately after. So if you go back to chapter 3, you'll see that it's the end of the church age.
So
Laodicea actually is the last church.
Oh, so it just means that these things happen immediately after
the church age. That's right, because there is an end to it.
There is an end to it.
So that's what chapter 4 is. And that's why I call it the rapture chapter. Because at the end of the church age, it's ended with the rapture of the church. We are taken up and out of the way for what's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to start calling it the rapture chapter, too.
You betcha. Okay, now, the word door there, the door was opened, it says.
And behold, a door standing open in heaven.
Now, that word door is number 2374 in your Strong's, and the Greek word thura, T-H-U-R-A, and it's actually one of two words that can also be used for gate. So,
okay.
And that makes a little more sense to me because we know there's the gates of heaven are open according to Isaiah 26. But also in Acts 3:2, it says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. That's the same word, thura.
Oh, same word for door has now become gate.
That's right.
Okay.
So it can be used either way, and I just wanted to give an example
to
that. So, and also thura is used to denote more of a portal. You know, like when you go through it, it's like huge.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, of course, we know from Hebrews 9:24 that all of heaven is the real temple of God. And that's what we will be focusing on tonight.
Wow.
And that's why he gave us the temples, because it was a picture of heaven.
Wow. Wow. That's really heavy. All of heaven is the real temple of God. Well, you know, like the expression in Isaiah 26?
Yeah.
The gates are open for the righteous to enter.
Yes,
that,
we just
that's
mentioned.
That's the kind of thing we're doing right here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And by the way, since Don just asked about the Feast of Trumpets, here's a little more information for you, Don.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll ask you, John.
Oh, great.
What feast is an idiom for the gates are opened?
Don, are you out there? Can you answer that for me? I know it is. It's Rosh Hashanah, of course.
Of course you know that.
Or the Feast of Trumpets.
That's right. The gates are opened on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
So while we are on the subject, what feast has an idiom for the gates are closed? Because if they're open, then they're also closed, right?
Okay, that's Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement. And right there, now you know why those feasts are so important.
They really are.
That's so we can understand this.
So in my studies, my obvious conclusion is the bride is called up on some Rosh Hashanah, and we don't know which day because it lasts for 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and returns, we will return with Jesus at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and I believe on a Yom Kippur, because those who by then are not righteous, or what Revelation calls a tribulation saint, will mm-hmm. no longer be allowed to enter the heavenly portal because the gates are then closed.
Yes. And we,
it just fits like a glove, doesn't it?
It sure does. We talk a lot about this in the fall season.
Yes, we do.
We do a lot of programs on this. And, you know, those teachings, too, as well, are on
as we told Dawn.
Yeah, they're on the webpage, shofarministries.net.
That's right. So, it's not at all a surprise that John heard the voice of a trumpet. Because both 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 says there will be the shout of a trumpet
mm-hmm.
when we're called up.
Yep.
Just like the Jewish custom of how the bridegroom shouts that he's there to pick up his betrothed bride and take her to his father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is also confirmed in Matthew 25:6.
And, you know, this all fits like a hand in a glove.
I think that's my favorite expression tonight.
Is it really? It used to be connects the dots, but it does. It fits like a hand in a glove. Yeah.
Well, I had to change it a little, you know.
And wasn't the trumpet actually saying something?
Yes, indeedy.
What was it saying?
It said, come up here, and I will show you what happens next, or as soon as we are called up.
Is this talking about the rapture?
Yes.
Obviously.
Come up here, John.
Come up here. Wow.
And John was a picture of the bride. So, like in a twinkling of an eye, and in the presence of God, he was, and he who sat on his throne, it says.
Hmm.
And that word for sat is kathame, and it actually means to remain there. So I guess he sits there a lot.
Well, I guess he has to if he's the God of the whole universe, you know.
That's right. Well, anyway, I just want to make a little comment here, too. Please understand, those of you that are maybe just beginning to study the Bible,
mm-hmm.
not all the details are in any one book. There's a lot of details that are not in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
End-time prophecy is a connect-the-dots kind of ministry. It really is. And an example is we know, like from other scriptures, that it will be Jesus who meets us in the air first
mm-hmm.
and presents us, or his bride, to the Father. And you can read about that in the Old Testament, too, like Daniel 7. In other words, well, I just wanted to clarify this. In other words, you have to read the whole Bible and then put it all together.
You can't just teach Revelation from the book of Revelation.
No, and that's what some people do, and then therefore they surmise things
mm-hmm.
and make errors.
Yeah, and you get into some errors. We're not saying they're evil or wicked. Some errors. And
right, because that's all they study, and then, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah, and of course. And, of course, you know, this is a picture that John is seeing of the throne room that I believe that Ezekiel saw in chapter 1. He describes a very similar account to John's
mm-hmm.
of the throne
room.
But not exact. John had some of the details. Ezekiel had some of the details. Mm-hmm. But they both wrote. You know, it was what they wrote. And it's not necessarily, they both probably saw the same thing, but they wrote about it differently.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you put them together. And that's one thing, too, about there's 66 authors to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They all had their little idiosyncrasies and their own personalities,
mm-hmm.
which God doesn't remove.
No, he doesn't.
You know, mm-hmm. he gives them insight and tells them what to write, of course, but they had their own style, each writer, I believe.
And each one is so connected and says the same thing as the next one. The writers were all on the same page, but it's because the writer was the Holy Spirit. And, of course, there's that saying, the New Testament is in the Old contained. Now, let me see if I got that right. Yeah, it's contained in the Old Testament and in the New explained.
That's right.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think you did.
I tried to say, somebody else said that very smoothly, and it wasn't me, but the way I think of it is that the New Testament came right from the Old Testament, and it's just...
It did.
It's just explaining the Old Testament, basically.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
We don't really need the New Testament to know exactly everything that's going to happen.
Well, Paul didn't need it because it wasn't there.
Exactly.
He did really well with the Tanakh, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. But again, we must move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I must point out that John was also in the Spirit in the day of the Lord
mm-hmm.
when he had his vision of Christ in chapter 1, verse 9, okay? And he heard the voice of a trumpet at that time as well. So when he calls us up, we're going to hear this. This trumpet sound, I call it the shofar, which is why my ministry is called Shofar Ministries. So the temples on earth and even the first tabernacle, actually,
mm-hmm.
had an outer court, an inner court, and a holy place, and the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, and then the throne was on top of the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, from the studies that I do, have all been modeled of heaven, a model of heaven.
Hmm.
So I think we should talk about that for just a minute, okay?
Okay.
I don't know how long most of our listeners have been saved, but a popular teaching when I was first saved was to ask the question, well, now that you are saved, and this is a good question to ask people today, I think, too.
Hmm.
Now that you are saved, do you want to be an outer court Christian, an inner court Christian, or a Holy of Holies Christian? And they would also compare it with the parable of Matthew 13. Remember the different kinds of yield that the sown seed could have? Remember,
oh,
it could
yeah.
have a 30%, so I think maybe that would be like the outer court, or a 60% yield, and that would be the inner court. But the 100% yield, a gung-ho Christian, totally blood-bought and, you know, all that stuff, that would get you into the Holy of Holies. And it was always based on the laver of water that you would have to wash in. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Which was in the outer court.
That's right.
And it's the washing, really, that moves you through.
Yes, and we know from Ephesians 5:26 as well, as the Jesus, remember how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples?
Mm-hmm.
That the water represents his word.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So more word, you're closer to Jesus, and then, of course, the throne.
So maybe it's similar in heaven or perhaps in the millennial kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely a connection there.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Oh, you know what? I think just before we continue, we have a great song to play, and it's by Paul Wilbur, which, of course, is the Messianic king of song.
King of Messianic music?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
So we're going to take a quick break and play his song to get everyone up and moving around and do a little dancing, and then come back and we'll finish.
Okay, so stay tuned to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be back right after this dance song from Paul Wilbur.
That's right. Enjoy it.
Don't cry.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Paul Wilbur.
I love it.
With Baruch Adonai, which is one of my favorite songs of his. Do you have a question for Sheila? I do all the time. Or would you like her to speak at your church or church group? That's a great idea. Have your pastor listen or check out our website before you do that. But you can email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or just call the office. Usually business hours are appropriate. 440-834-9006. And please leave a detailed message.
And remember, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you are being blessed by this program and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
And we can do advertising for you, too, if you need to.
That's right.
Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button right down there on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email or your house address.
Okay. And again, you can also call in tonight and pledge and give Derek your information.
Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, well, don't forget the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, or Route 306 in Chesterland.
Yes, close to just about everywhere. Begins with Messianic worship with yours truly here at 7 p.m. And this, yeah, okay.
Amen to that.
First Friday of every month. I like that.
Yes.
We've been doing that for a long time.
We've been doing it for a while, and it works fine. It's mm-hmm. really nice.
Yes, it is.
Okay, did we read verses 3 and 4 yet?
No, we did
okay.
not do that. We were,
Let's
of course,
that.
We're discussing the book of Revelation and it's
chapter
4, which you call the rapture chapter?
I do.
Call the rapture chapter. Okay. And the thing is this is a very rich teaching because it brings in so many other points. And
well, I'm glad you brought that up because actually by studying the book of Revelation, which is probably why you get a really special blessing.
Oh, because it sends you back to
it sends you to the whole Bible if you study correctly.
Well, maybe that
you
is
know,
a blessing.
Every time you see a little A, B, and C next to a word, you should find out where that is and go to it and read it. That's true. Study it.
Yeah, that I agree with that totally. Well, let me read verses 3 and 4 here. And he who sat there, or on the throne we're talking about here,
mm-hmm.
and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance.
Bright.
And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads.
Okay.
We've all probably read this before.
That's right. But did you know that jasper was a clear stone, like a diamond, speaks of his glory?
I didn't know that.
And did you know that each tribe as well has a stone attributed
well,
to
yeah.
it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, the high priest Aaron's breastplate contained a stone for each tribe, and I think that diamond was the stone for the tribe of Benjamin.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then mm-hmm. Sardis was like our red ruby, and that, of course, speaks of sacrifice.
And I don't know, is this the stone for the tribe? This is the stone for the tribe of Reuben, and it's a ruby? Is that where ruby got its name? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't know.
It could be.
Well, this, you know, Ruby's English, so I don't think so. That's a good observation, though, John. Anyway, Exodus 28, verses 17 through 20, names the stones on the breastplate of the high priest. And these two are the first and the last stones, kind of encompasses all of the tribes.
Oh, I see. So many details with this. And each has its own meaning. I would have never have thought that.
And we're just touching the surface. So these are all things that you can take and you know, go into much more detail.
Wow.
Much more detail. Let's talk about that rainbow.
It says
that it has appearance like an emerald. Of course, we know there's different colors in the rainbow. And
absolutely.
That word really means consisting of the color of emerald. Okay, so one of the colors was emerald.
I see. Okay. Well, the emerald was a stone that represented the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it's actually really a circle because we only see half of it. And, of course, we know that that was the sign of the covenant with Noah.
Well, where's the other half?
Up there.
In heaven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool.
Isn't it?
But what about those 24 thrones? Now that's
okay. That's very interesting. Now, let's point out that we know Solomon was very organized, having many divisions for the people. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, by now, there's thousands and thousands of them. And it, his divisions all seem to include the number 24. Example.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me an example there.
24 military divisions, each with 24,000 men. There were 24 courses of temple priests, 24 districts, 24 governors. You can read about this all in First Chronicles. So 24 is a leadership number. So not surprising we see the division around the throne, since especially Solomon's temple was a type of heaven, according to the book of Hebrews. So we see this, these elders sitting on 24 thrones.
Why 24? I mean, why wouldn't it be just 12 or...
Well, I think I just told you.
Well, I know. I know, but they seem like they're grouped into two groups of 12.
Yes, hold on, hold on.
Okay.
First of all, let's talk about those crowns. These 24 were rewarded with these crowns, and these crowns in the Greek is Stephanos. Number 4735, which actually means a crown of reward.
Oh, so could it mean the reward, too? Just the reward? Or is...
We are going to get crowns as rewards.
As rewards, okay.
And that is, you know, there's two crowns. There's the diadems and there's the Stephanos. And the diadems, number 1238, actually was the crowns given to kings.
Oh, okay. That's what we would normally think of as a king's crown.
Yeah, we won't get that. We're going to get crowns. Of rewards.
Okay.
Stephanos.
Stephanos. Okay.
Right. So they were given those as soon as they were given their resurrected body. I believe that's one of the first things that's going to happen when we get up there is we will get our rewards.
Rewards.
Now, some say these 24 represent the 12 tribes or the 12 sons of Jacob of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New Testament.
Okay.
So, like in the Millennial Kingdom and Matthew 19:28 also refers to that. Can you read that?
Yes. So, Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Okay.
Okay.
So, we've got the apostles on 12. That's pretty obvious. So the other 12, I believe, is probably the representing the 12 sons of Jacob. And all 24 will judge all the people of Israel.
Okay.
And when will that occur?
Hmm.
At the great white throne judgment and the end of the millennial kingdom. And that will be the unrighteous. And we'll go into that a little bit more.
Okay.
But while we're here in Matthew 19:28, could you read 29? Because it's just a good thing to read.
Okay. Okay. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life.
Well, eternal life is a given. But I think it's interesting that he specifically says and receive a hundredfold. So there are going to be some that only receive 30-fold, and some only 60-fold, and some will get a hundredfold.
It seems to imply that.
Yeah, right.
It does. Hmm.
And I think it's interesting, too, that he points out that he has to be first.
Yeah.
So it's got to be above your material goods, your brothers, your sisters, your mother and father, your land. He has to be first in your life.
Yeah, he's not saying by any stretch of the imagination to abandon your parents or your sister or your wife or your children. No, he's just saying that the most important, your first relationship is with him.
That's right.
And that'll make all those other relationships go a lot better.
That's right. And you know what? And an example would be like if you haven't been in your word all week and you're supposed to go to a family function on the weekend and you haven't been in your word all week, I wouldn't go to the function. I mean, that's how serious this is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be in God's Word at least a few hours every week, or the enemy's just going to take over. That's important.
Yeah.
And then God will see that as well.
Yes.
And by the way, there were elders in both the Old Testament, according to Numbers 11:16, and the New Testament, as we know, and does represent some kind of governing body anyway.
It sure does, doesn't it?
Yes. And you know what? In 1 Corinthians 6, it says that we will even judge angels and the world.
Hmm.
So again, I believe this will be at the great white throne judgment of the unrighteous, and I believe that's probably going to be fallen angels. I can't imagine judging.
No, it didn't have to be fallen angels. But
that's heavy.
What if it was one of the fallen angels that you were judging was one that before you became saved or born again was the one that really was on your case before he was cast away from you when you got saved, you know?
Yeah,
and you
well,
would find
I call those demons. I don't know about fallen angels, so that's the big step there.
Wow, okay, I don't know. Imagination running away with me there.
Anyway, either way, it's evil. And I think it's also important to mention that how severe their punishment will be is according to their deeds.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Revelation 20 says that. 2 Timothy 4:14 says it. Proverbs 24:12, they all imply that there's going to be different degrees of punishment. And in fact, I think...
Certainly, why wouldn't there be?
Well, yeah. If there's going to be a judgment, it would have to be.
Well, that's the very essence of judgment. That means fairness.
That's right.
You don't get more than what's coming to you, and you don't get any less either.
Right. And I think it's interesting that they are going to be judged according to their works, which is the big problem why people don't come to the Lord is because they say, well, I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's how you're going to be judged then.
Yeah, you'll be judged on that.
Yeah, I can't be good enough.
Well, I know I can't because I have a little problem every day, it seems like, and I need the Lord every day. I got to start out with him.
Can you read 2 Corinthians 11:15?
Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 11:15. Oh, therefore it is no great thing if ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness.
Right, demonic ministers.
Oh, okay, that's who we're talking about, whose end will be according to their work.
Just another example that their final punishment will be according to their works.
Works, yes. Oh, that's good.
Matthew 23:14, I think this is a good one too.
Okay, this says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive a greater condemnation.
There you go.
Well, sure.
I mean, what does that say?
Well, that says there's different folds, like you said.
That's right.
100-fold, 30-fold, 20-fold.
Right.
I was very careful with this judgment, very careful.
That's right.
Anything
okay.
else you want me to read while we're at it?
Yes. I know I'm keeping you busy, aren't
yes,
I?
Yes, you are. I'm going to have to take a sip of water if I'm going to read any more here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue on in verse 5.
Okay. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God.
That's right. So, lightning and thundering represent power of God.
Hmm.
That's pretty simple. And voices, in Greek, the word is phoné, and it just means very loud tones.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like all the heavenly beings were exuberant that John was there. And that's exactly how they will be when we arrive. Remember, God is showing John what will happen at the rapture. Because he is the type of the bride whom Jesus loved. That's why he singled out John as the one he loved. Not because he loved the others any less, but because John represented his soon-to-be wife.
Mm-hmm. And we know that from reading the Gospel of John, and John describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved,
exactly.
whom Jesus loved.
And then we have the 7 lamps of fire, and according to Revelation 1:20, it represents the 7-fold Holy Spirit-filled church, as outlined in chapters 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also, let's read those 7 attributes in out of Isaiah 11, 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. Isaiah 11, 1 through 2, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord.
That's right. And that was Jesus as a man at his baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be our, it is ours as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I believe it's up to us to increase those attributes, sort of like our faith needs to be increased. And the Bible's very clear on that.
Sure. Yeah.
And of course, how do we do that?
Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
That's right. And increasing the Word of God in your life will increase those attributes as well that we just read.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
John, did you know, and I've said, yeah, I know you know this, that the ancient rabbis all taught that the study of God's Word is the highest form of worship?
They certainly did.
That's right. So, if you really like to sing, you know, like mm-hmm. worship, sing the Word, like the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And if you attend our services on the first Friday of every month, you can even learn to sing in the Word in biblical Hebrew.
That's right.
And the reason for that is because I realized God showed me that I knew the words to more popular songs than I did to God's Psalms. I could recite lyrics to all these 60 songs, but I couldn't recite one Psalm.
Ah.
And I started learning Psalms, and we're singing them there at Chester Christian
Center.
That's
right. Well, you've been a musician all your life, and for a while you weren't serving the Lord, and now you are in song.
Yes.
isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that was. That's. I take that as a compliment coming from my former booking agent.
All right, let's not go there.
Oh.
Anyway, Hebrew is God's perfect language.
Exactly. Yeah.
That we will all be speaking in the millennial kingdom.
Okay.
So let's start now, huh?
Yes, we should.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to have you read verse 6. I don't know how far we'll be able to get with it, but
next week we'll
come back to it.
Yeah. Before the throne, in other words, in front of the throne, was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back.
Yes. That verse 6, we're going to be in for a while, I think. But
I think so, too.
Let's get the sea of glass, because that's
okay.
Not too difficult.
Okay.
Since heaven is the temple of God,
mm-hmm.
I would think it would have to have a laver of water, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
But now, washing is not needed. So this very large laver is like a sea of glass. And now one can stand victoriously on it. And in fact, John in chapter 15:2 actually does see the martyred tribulation saints in heaven standing on the sea of glass, and it's mingled with fire, picturing the fiery trial they had to endure to their death.
You know, our Lord and Savior walked on the sea.
That's right. So might have been a picture of what we're going to do.
Wow.
There you go.
This is getting better and better.
It is. So when we come back next week, we're going to get right into the four living creatures, because I have so much good things and typology with that.
Don't you want to go another 15 minutes or so? Okay.
I'd love to if they'll let me, but I don't think they will.
That's too bad. Well, I wonder, that was good.
Yes, well, Revelation is good, and as you know, it's my favorite book, and it was the first book that I've ever studied and taught.
I know, and it's been a blessing. It does take you all over the Bible.
It does.
And, listener, I got to ask you if you've made Jesus Lord over your whole life yet, or do you just have that head knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction? Well, that's the important thing. So in order to get that relationship with the God of the universe, just get on your knees, right now even, and repent those individual sins that's keeping you in bondage. You know what they are, and they're weighing you down. Now commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior, the Savior of the whole world. Make that choice tonight. We're praying that you will make that choice. And we believe that God will show himself to you and that you will become born
again.
He's
so faithful.
He is so faithful. Actually, he's waiting for you to
do this
if you haven't done it already. And then what do you do?
And then you go and you fulfill the Great Commission that he gave us. do what Jesus told us to do and go tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For I believe judgment is very near. And so, John, could you say that ironic blessing from number 622 in his perfect language?
I'd be happy to. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m.
And until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper, and that's not maybe.
Psalm 122, verse 6. And again, join us next Tuesday at 8 p.m. as we continue in the book of Revelation.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.